بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome one and all once again here for the fiqh segment. And we mentioned last week, we had begun the chapter on the namaz of a person who is sick. So the namaz of a sick person indicates to us the importance of salah. If anybody wishes to know and wanted to ever know the importance of salah in the life of a Muslim, then one should read the masail and the rulings regarding the namaz of a sick person, because this will give us an understanding of how important it is to read salah, because it is not something that is just cast aside at the first possible excuse, or a lame excuse for that matter, but rather at every given opportunity, the Sharia has made provision for a person in some form or the other to perform his salah. We were halfway through the chapter. We will continue from where we had left off last week. And we mentioned that if a sick person has no strength even to move the head for ishara, ishara is gesturing. If a person has no strength even to move his head, then one should not perform the salah. So if a person is lying down, we said that first a person will sit down and he will sit and read his salah. He will bow for ruku and bow a little more for sajda. And if he cannot do this, then he will lie down in such a way that he will raise his knees and he will raise his head facing the qibla, and he will read his salah in this way. And again, he will bow a little for ruku and bow a little bit more for his sajda. But if a person is so sick that he has absolutely no strength even to move the head, then a person should not perform salah. But if this condition continues for more than a day and night, one will not be bound to perform qaza for the missed number of salah. Now this is very similar to the masala we done last week, where we said that if a person faints for less than a full day and night, then he must perform the missed number of salah. So if a person is in a coma, for example, what they mean when they say faints is that a person who is unconscious, a person who is not in his right state of mind, he is obviously unconscious or sedated or he has fainted. So if he has fainted for less than a full day and night, then he must perform the missed number of salah. For example, if a person now has fainted now before Asr today, but he wakes up after Fajr tomorrow morning, so this is not a full day and a full night, so he will have to read, for example, his Asr, Maghrib, Isha and Fajr namaz, because these namazes were missed before a full day and full night was completed. However, if a person has fainted, or a person is in a coma, or a person has been sedated to that extent that he is asleep, and he is in this condition for more than a full day and night, then he is not liable to perform the salahs. There is no qaza for him. That means when he wakes up a week later, for example, then he will not have to perform the qaza for that whole week. Those namazes are maaf now because he was in this condition for more than a full day and night. Similarly, if a person gains the strength of moving the head for ishara within a day or night or in a period lesser than that, the qaza will have to be performed for the five or lesser salah. Same story, if a person doesn't have the strength, he is awake, but he doesn't have the strength at all of even moving his head, and this condition lasts for more than a day and night, then there will be no qaza salah. But if it is for less than a day, a full day and night, then whatever namazes he missed during that period of weakness will have to be performed as qaza salah. Tayammum is permitted when it is known by one's own experience or good doctor. And when we say a good doctor in Islam, it means that a Muslim doctor, a person who is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he knows a masail, a person who knows now the importance of salah. It can happen that a non-Muslim doctor will say that, look, you know what, it's better for you not to use water to wash yourself, etc., because of your condition. A Muslim doctor will say that, look, if you're just making wudu, it will be fine, you can make wudu. So it has to be a situation where a Muslim doctor, a good doctor for that matter, he now says to the patient that, look, you cannot make wudu. If water has to go over this affected areas, then it's going to be a problem for you and you might cause more harm to yourself. In this condition, then tayammum will be permitted. If a sick person's bedding is impure, and changing it would cause great inconvenience to the person. Now, a lot of the time we know that sometimes we have old people with us, staying with us, perhaps our parents, grandparents, whatever the case may be. And we know how weak and feeble they are. And now it can happen that they soil the bed a little bit. And, you know, to change it now would cause great, great taklif for them. Then they can perform salah in that condition while the namaz, and when it is a bit of a better opportunity and it will not cause so much of trouble, then they can be moved and the sheets may be changed. A person who is paralyzed or who is so sick that he cannot use water for istinja, then he should use toilet paper, something absorbent, or he should use dry clay to clean himself. Like we know, we generally use toilet paper, etc. But water is necessary for istinja, that is to clean one's private parts after relieving oneself. So if this is not possible because of a person's condition once again, then he should use something to absorb the najasat and to clean himself, and dry clay, etc. Like we know it's permissible for istinja, a person may use this so that he does not cause more harm to himself. Or for example, if a paralyzed person is in such a condition that he cannot get water for himself, or he is alone or whatever the case may be, then in this way he can make istinja and then perform his wudu and read his salah. If he cannot do this also, then he should perform his salah without even making istinja. Subhanallah. Even here, if we look at this, Allahu Akbar, we can understand how important salah. Salah is not to be missed in any situation. In any situation. You know, only in the most extreme cases, like we can see here, if a person is completely immobile and cannot move at all, or is so sick, or is unconscious, then only is namaz ma'af for that person. But up until the person has is conscious and he has some strength in his body, the Sharia has decreed that that person should read his salah. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a cornerstone, and the salah is a cornerstone in the life of a mu'min. It cannot be missed under any circumstances. And we can see from these masail, subhanallah, I wouldn't say under any circumstances, but in most cases, a person will not be absolved of his salah, but rather he should try as far as possible to read it. One who has undergone eye surgery and is not allowed to shake his head by the doctor should perform his salah lying down. That means that by him going up and down, a person who has eye surgery, generally what we see happening is that by him going into ruku and sajda, it causes great amount of stress on the back of the eye. There's a lot of pressure on the back of the eye, and this sometimes can cause a blood vessel to pop. It can reverse the effects of the surgery that he had, and it can cause great harm to the person's eye. So in this case, the Sharia has allowed for such a person not to go up and down in ruku and sajda, thereby putting his eye at risk. But rather, he should read salah lying down in such a condition, like a person who is sick, we said, where the knees will be raised slightly, the back will be raised towards the qibla, and then he can just make his ruku, bowing a little, tilting the head a little for ruku and a little bit more for his sajda. So this is basically the condition of a person who has had eye surgery. The yamum should be made if a person cannot make wudu. If he cannot perform tayammum himself, he may be assisted. So a person who cannot perform wudu, for whatever reason, he doesn't have the strength to perform wudu, he doesn't have the ability to go and do this himself, then he should make tayammum. And if he himself can't even make tayammum, then somebody else may make tayammum for that person. We know tayammum is very easy, where just the hands and the face is dabbed with dusty hands. So this is how tayammum will be, and a person will at least will be in a state, in a condition of purity in this way, and he can read his salah after making this tayammum. Inshallah, from next week, this brings us to a conclusion, by the way, with regard to the namaz of a sick person, a person who is incapacitated, who is very, very weak, a person who is in advanced ages, so who is in a at an advanced age. So we can see all these masail here relate to that and provide a solution for these people in that case. From next week, inshallah, we will move over to the different types of nafil salah. And I am happy actually that we have come to this particular chapter as we come closer to the month of Ramadan, as we approach Ramadan, because this is a time in Ramadan that we find that people will read and try and start different types of nafil salahs. People read the salah of repentance, the salah to tawbah, the tahajjud salah becomes so much easier because we are up for our sehri at that time. The Salatul Awwabin, which is a great namaz to read, a nafil namaz as well, which is 6 rakats after the Maghrib Salah. Then we have obviously Salatul Tasbih, which is a very, very, very powerful Salah for a mu'min to read. So that is something that we will discuss as well. So these are all the types of nafil salahs that we will discuss, inshallah, from next week going forward as we approach the month of Ramadan. And a week or two before Ramadan, inshallah, we will then start with the masail on sawm and fasting, as a lot of people may have questions with regard to that. So we will, inshallah, conduct those classes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. And may Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding. Until next week, Jazakumullah for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.